Hello and welcome to another edition of The Drop by Verge Magazine. I'm your host, Andre Dixon, back with my friends, my amigos. We've took 1 week out so we can actually fill in more topics for you guys. There's so much stuff we've got to talk about. I'm going to go around the table and say hello to all of the gang. Chris Braithwaite, how are you?
I'm good, man. Miami's turning
sorry,
back
Sorry, I put
up,
your whole government name there. Sorry.
Whole government out there, you know. Shout out to everybody that's been listening. I'm here full time now. I don't have to keep leaving the studio. So I'm happy to be here for the full gamut, you know, to get all of Camdy's wrath, you know, when we go back and forth. So this is going to be really good moving forward.
speaking of which, Camdy, how are you?
So I guess it's Hurricane Camdy, according to Chris. Mm-hmm. My wrath, goodness. All right, we'll see.
Jensine and Camelia, how are you guys?
Hello, puppet.
I love it.
I'm doing good. Y'all are cracking me up already. We're not even 5 minutes in.
All right,
it's 4:20. We gotta act like we're high.
It's 420. Chris, can you I don't understand what the hell this is about. Can you enlighten me a little bit, please?
So 420, for those that don't know, you know, for the smokers, we listen to me, you know what I'm saying? They celebrate this holiday. You know, and you enjoy a little it's come as an international counter holiday, where people gather to celebrate and consume cannabis. You know, pretty much that's the most I know about it. I'm not really sure the real history behind it. Obviously, if you're in the hip hop history and obviously the hippie world, this has been around for a while. So happy 420. That's the most I got for you, man.
I feel like we're letting the side down, not participating in some form.
You're not participating, but
yeah, I know. When I come over to Miami, we'll correct that, definitely. That's for sure. So let's get on to the first topic and I'm gonna make sure I pronounce this right. These guys are telling me I'm pronouncing it correctly because I double checked beforehand, but it's Sweetie and Quavo. There's a big bust up a little while ago. It opened up a wider discussion about domestic violence, but I will let Camelia take it away.
All right, so we all know about the Saweetie and Quavo breakup that happened a few weeks ago. However, following their breakup, a video surfaced of Quavo dragging Saweetie in the elevator, throwing her on the floor, and then just looking up at the camera like nothing happened. Then we had some responses from celebrities. I can't remember exactly who, but everybody was pretty much supporting it and saying that that's just Black love. Is it Black love or is it toxic masculinity? And that's what we want to figure out. So what do you guys think about this? Is this more towards being toxic masculinity, domestic violence, or is this really what Black love is?
Camelia, I'll let you get in first.
Well, I just want to clarify that she did punch him before they got in the elevator. So I don't think it's toxic masculinity because they're both toxic. So they're both responsible. Also, I want to say that they're young. I'm in my 30s. I think they're in their 20s, I believe. And that's the stuff I'm not going to lie. Like, I did BS like that when I was in my 20s. Now I would never. And I look back and it's like, wow, that was so stupid. Like, why? Why are you going to hit somebody for it? And you hit them because knowing that they can't hit you back. Sometimes you do that too. And it's really immature and really stupid. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say it's because they're young. And when you're young, you just do dumb stuff. And no, it's no excuse. And no, it shouldn't represent Black love because it is toxic. You guys shouldn't be hitting each other, pushing each other. You know, there's other ways of solving your problem. So that's what I believe it is.
So from what I saw after the facts, well, first, let me back up a little bit, because when that first was released, that video, there was a huge discussion going back and forth. And I was a little bit taken aback about some of the reactions from the video. A lot of people were defending the action. I personally believe that you shouldn't incorporate violence at all. It is, to Camdy's point, a little bit immature. And then I think it brought up some other instances of comparison with like Jay-Z and Beyonce and what happened in that elevator. And then there was a huge, another discussion. And then next thing I know, they have a, I think she kind of did a jab in her music. So I think that was another layer where she started going after him. Did you hear about that, Chris, or DJ Genesis?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear about her jab. I heard about his jab when he is a song that's coming out. I heard it in, on the radio where he's talking about taking back. He took back a Bentley from her. So back to what Kamni was saying too in terms of them being toxic. Yeah, both of them. I believe. I don't know how long the video came out before they split. But it seemed like it was at the end of this.
Oh, they said a year. You know? That video was a year old that resurfaced, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, if we want to break down the video in terms of that, like obviously she went to punch him, and I believe like he was reacting and he pulled her in, trying to get a bag back and pulled her in also, and she happened to fall down. I personally don't think like he threw her down. I think it was just an action in terms of like him trying to get back his stuff. But obviously that's not the first time. Obviously, I think it was an argument and it just happened to get caught on camera. I don't think this personal incident qualifies to the level of toxic masculinity. I think this is an instant we just caught her just kind of get caught in a bad rap. He's pulling back for his bag. She gets caught in it and she comes into it. Is that like he threw her down again and so on and so forth? And obviously I am still not a fan of, I felt bad for her because obviously when you get pulled like that, you know, he knows the strength, you know, and it's hard as a man because obviously I don't want to see any woman, especially any black woman, put in that position, but it's a tough one. But I don't want to say that he is like in any domestic dispute in terms of this particular incident. That's just my opinion.
I mean, I think that in some cases, I think women do provoke men. I think women take advantage that, men can't hit me back, and they go and they hit the man. Like, they provoke them in that way. Do you think that's what happened in the elevator? Because Kamni said, men mentioned that she punched him before.
Yeah, if we're going to sometimes say, hey, toxic masculinity and so on, where do we give him credit for restraint? You know, in terms of like being swung on and possibly not escalating the matter after that.
So that was restraint to you, right?
I didn't say he threw her down because I think he was reacting to something. I don't think he swung and then threw her down. I think the throwing down aspect of it comes with him grabbing of objects. So we can break that down. And I think there's a bit of gray area there. You know, it's not she swung on him and he took her and said, hey, man, what you doing? Or shook her or anything like that. That was not the case. So I'm just saying in this particular matter, I'm not going to defend his actions in terms of like pulling her. He could have let her go, get it later, so on and so forth. I'm just saying for real. But I'm not going to defend his actions, but I'm just saying in the heat of the moment, we've all been there. We all kind of react. He's got punched on. Now you're trying to take my stuff. There's only so much you can go. So I think he probably reacted that way. Like, nah, you're not going to swing on me and take my stuff. Like, there's only so far I'm going to get punked, you know? So I think that's a part of that too. And being young, you don't want to be punked. When you're at my age, you know, you let that go, you let it breathe.
I think that there's something that is, you know, Chris and I have spoken about this off air, that is wrong with the community that we, you know, automatically, as soon as that came out, you know, obviously it, in no way was it as bad as Ray Rice and so forth, but you know, there was automatic defense from women of the man. And this is the same thing that happened with Rihanna on comments. This is the same thing that happened even with Ray Rice. It's like it was the women defending this man who's you know, assaulted a woman in any form of way. Like, you know, at the end of the day, even if it's like you struggle and you throw the woman to the floor, that's still deemed assault, and it's still to me ethically wrong. I don't think you need to use your strength in that form of way. I think that the bar isn't low for us to be able to say, okay, well, he gets props because he didn't swing on her, because you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to walk away. You're supposed to walk the other way, because at the end of the day, is that we know, Chris, as men, that you're guilty automatically, full stop. And I believe so. And I think that that's right. I don't think it's right in any form of way for women to be able to hit men and think that it's okay. I think that that is something that's a wider subject that women are taught by shows. I was even watching Curb Your Enthusiasm the other day, and two characters were having a conversation, and the woman just started to hit him, smack him straight away. As I was thinking, okay, well, if that was written in the show, there's another way around, then that would just be like the show would be ended straight away, cancelled. I think that we've got to start teaching our children that it's not okay to,
right.
to hit.
What was annoying for me about this whole situation was like other like prominent artists, black men came out and like took time out their day to post videos about it, like saying, like promoting this is black love, and if basically if this ain't what it's going to be, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so that's like normal. So instead of them, because of their prominence, saying like, you know, this, like, instead of saying, okay, they both weren't right, but promote, let's do better. Let's change the generation, you know, let's be better than our parents or what we saw or what we think is normal. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Why take time out of your day to just say that this is normal to like impressionable, like teenagers watch you and there's people in their early in relationships. And I don't, you know, you shouldn't be saying that. Oh, it's not passion or love, or the sex is not going to be great unless you guys are treating each other like this. That's all I wanted to say. That's where you get kind of confused, because when you're young, you're looking up to people who've been there and done that. And when you hear something like that, it could make you think that, oh no, it ain't real love unless it's like this. That's what was kind of annoying about the whole situation for me.
Do you believe too also it's cultural? Because you know, we grew up from a Caribbean household and we hear comments like, well, oh, that girl cheated on him, well, she deserves to get boxed, and you know, stuff like that. You hear comments like that. I feel like when you say black love, it also becomes cultural. I believe that's what people are growing up with, and that's what they believe is normal. And like Tammy said, we got to break that, you know, what they call those generational curses or those generational traumas, and not teach that to our kids.
I think it could definitely be cultural. I think, you know, a little bit to Cammy's point earlier, as a child, you're growing up and this is what you see your uncles and your aunts and how they're acting, or maybe even your parents. And around that time, there was another video that surfaced of Darius Morris, NBA player, and beating his girlfriend. And there is like a select amount of people that will kind of say, well, what did she do to deserve that? And it's still blaming the woman. And it's probably years and years of saying, well, she must have done something, or having that angry woman role. She must have done something to provoke them. And even then, you're still kind of blaming the victim a little bit. So I think it's definitely, to Andre's point, something that we need to teach our kids, and definitely let them know that this maybe isn't normal, and kind of change the narrative a bit.
I think it's definitely stuff that we have to be able to teach, as you're just saying, Jen, just like teach ourselves and then obviously our children moving forward, that this isn't a normal thing. Obviously, different generations have different ethics and morals, and I do think that is something that I really disturbs me about our culture, that it's almost celebrated, especially by women. Is just like they're not appalled by it. They're just like automatically making an excuse. Oh, well, she must have done something. Mm-hmm. It's just like that's right. Never okay, never acceptable, and it's just something we have to teach our kids. So, you know, the world will never be kumbaya and everyone holding hands and bunnies running in the street. But at the end of the day, is that what we can actually do as each generation is just actually try and attempt to be able to educate the next. Now, I'm just going to break into our schedule. You know, I think these guys will forgive me for this, because as we are recording, at time recording, the verdict for George Floyd's murder, effectively, has come in. Derek Chauvin, I'm glad to be able to announce, has been, you know, convicted of guilty on all three charges. So, you know, which is
all right.
It's great for justice, and it's great for the fact that, you know, that finally that's, you know, we can actually see some justice happen, especially to our community. I'll start off with Camilla. What's your take on it real quick?
You know what? I chose not to watch the trial because Honestly, just social media and everything, we're showing injustices against Black people. It becomes hard to watch. And then the trial too itself was all, you know, just like reliving those emotions that you felt when the whole thing happened with George Floyd. So I chose not to watch it, but in the back of my mind, I was really doubtful. I didn't think he was going to be charged guilty. When I heard his lawyer saying that, well, you know, it wasn't just because of the chokehold why he died. There was other substances in his body and all this stuff. I became doubtful. And I thought that he was not going to be found guilty. So this is actually news to my ears. I'm glad he was found guilty.
So I actually watched a little bit of the trial. I didn't last long, though. It was very difficult to watch. And as the witnesses were kind of explaining what they had to go through and breaking down and crying, it was just a little too heavy to watch for me. And part of the thing that people were saying is the jurors don't have that option to like stop and listen, whereas, you know, we could kind of turn it on and turn it off. But I think this is a good turning point and indication of where the country is headed to next. And it's a very, very small step, but it's nonetheless a good step.
Kemeny? Oh, sorry. Yes,
Kemeny. No, Genesis is going to say something. Chris, yeah, you can go. Okay. You can go ahead and say. Yeah.
All right, I'll say then, Cam, you can finish this segment. In terms of the guilty charge, I did think that this was just too egregious of a crime caught on film to go the other way. I know we've had the criminal system have had a history of obviously egregious cases against Black people with the police. We don't want to go through them like Camelia said. There's a lot of trauma that happens when you keep watching these things over and over and over. So him coming out with the three guilty charge, I thought it was going to happen. But I just want to say there's a bit of healing now for the family. I think they more than anybody have just gone through so much, bro. I know with the community and everybody in Minneapolis, obviously they have more trials coming forward with police involved shootings. So it's not over for the city. But at least for this case and the country, the things that erupted last summer, you know, when COVID hit and so many, like Dre said, the world was hit the streets. I think it's a bit of salvage for them and moving forward.
Emily?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And it just shows like, okay, this time he was guilty because we actually saw the physical act of murder caught on camera. There's no denying it. So if he got away with it, that would have been weird. But that just goes to show, luckily, there was like a bunch of different angles, different people filming this. But there are times when this same exact thing happens and there's no cameras around and they get away with it. And I think the only reason he is guilty is because it was caught right there on camera. Yeah. Even if all those caught police officers were there, but there was no crowd of people and the same situation happened, they would have covered for him and he would have got away with it, which is what happens every day. So the only thing I'm going to say is the only reason why this particular police officer is going to jail for it is because other people got it on camera. But other cops are going to get away with the same thing. It's not going to change much unless there's other people there filming, and like a lot, because it could be just me, Gen C, Camille out there seeing some injustice happening. Us filming, to me, that's not even enough. It had to be like all those people out in the street. Why it happened? I mean, it's only because he couldn't get away with it, because everybody saw it. Everybody saw it happen right there. Him take his last breath. We saw it. So
yeah, it's literally because of the fact that we were all in the pandemic, stuck indoors, and then everyone was looking at their phones because no one else had anything else to do, and then that caught fire. So definitely, I'm hoping that it sends a message. I'm wondering, guys, what's going to happen with the other officers that were assisting Derek Chauvin in this as well. So I'll be, I think they should be extremely worried because that's not a good sign for them too, and hopefully they get what's coming to them as well. But let's move on to the next subject just to make sure we keep on time. So I'm going to come to Jensine. Tell me the next topic.
All right. So hate them or love them, the Kardashians once again. So if everybody can remember Khloe Kardashian, when she first became relevant, or I don't even know if you can consider her relevant now, but when she first came out and she was on TV.
She's relevant as fuck. Courtney ain't.
How she looked 10 years ago is a little bit different, or a lot different than how she looks now. We can all agree on that. She looks completely different. So, you know, she's worked really hard on changing her image around. She was known as the ugly sister back in the day. And recently, she had scrubbed the entire internet to remove one of her bikini pictures because it just wasn't in the light of how she wanted to be portrayed. So the question is, and this is a good question that Charlamagne had raised, was, does social media make it hard to be the real you? So what do you think, Amelia?
First of all, I just want to address just being a sister. So there's four of us. I have three other sisters, and we're all beautiful, but I did grow up and hear some comments from people outside of my family be like, oh, well, you're prettier than that sister, or blah, blah, blah. And I just want to say a simple F you to all of them, because you should not separate or divide the sisters like that. That is so messed up. So I always shot it down. If I heard somebody say something about my sister, it's like, I just shot it down immediately. I don't know if like Kim, Courtney, or them other sisters were doing that on Khloe's behalf, but I do not. I don't accept that at all. And then secondly, with the whole social media thing, I do definitely, most definitely, social media has a big influence on image and body image and self-love. Like I grew up without social media, and I eventually transitioned to it in my 20s. But growing up, like, yeah, I was never happy with my body. But I never had the urge to do surgery. Over the past few years, now that, you know, BBLs and 360 lipos are now more common, I do feel the urge to do it. And I do want to do it. So, and I do blame social media, because I can see women who look worse than me, no offense, but their body was a lot more effed up than mine is. And then you see their after pictures and their body is banging. That makes me feel shitty, so for sure. that definitely does have a big influence. So you know what, I big ups to Khloe for coming out with that, because that was a real last statement, and it's true. It's most definitely 100% true, and I feel for her for that.
Now, this is the gift and the curse of social media. Now, before I get into that, now the Khloe picture that was scrubbed, I believe that picture actually looked good, didn't it? I thought it that did. Picture looked pretty solid. I was like, why are you scrubbing this? You should put this on the next. You should post this next. What are you talking? This should be your throwback Thursday. This should be your TBT easy. I was kind of scratching my head. I was like, you trying to scrub this picture? This is a good one. But anyway. But even to that point, for her to even think that a picture that we might even gawk over is disgusting or doesn't show what she wants to be portrayed, obviously shows how those at the top or those that have a lot of influence are influenced by everyone else. You know, you're more influenced by your followers than them being influenced by you. You know, you should be the one, if you want to get the body, you know, change it. I'm all into health, but if you are saying, yo, get rid of how that picture looked because I don't want it ever being seen, I think that's a bit psychedelical. I mean, I don't know where that comes from. But the double-edged sword about social media is, yes, some people that do love this particular platform feel that if they're on it, they must look good. Now, if you feel that is the reason why you have to stay in shape and you have to look good and you're doing it at the proper way, then fine. But we know a lot of people now take this to the next level and they have to OD, they got to get surgery, they got to take pills, they got to go to the doctor. It just gets way out of hand now. And when does it stop? So for those that are really stuck on the image on social media, I think it's more of a psychological thing in terms of like why you feel you must impress people on a screen that you're not even seeing every day. And that's a question. More, I think we see a lot more of that. Obviously, in the scene from, I don't want to say, you guys can let me know, from women always making sure that, you know, you got to look good or they don't want to be in pictures. I'm talking about, I'm usually taking pictures for these people. There's always an angle. They got to make sure that. So I'm like, what is it about just being yourself? And because I never see somebody post a picture of someone say, hey, man, I see that little roll on your side. What are you doing? I've never heard that. I've never seen a comment. So what is it
that's
about?
That's because we say it out loud. We don't comment and say it.
That's, but we've always done that. But we've always, we be in a party and be like, look, she roll out. Now, what's the difference?
Yeah.
So who cares? So why do we care so much about a screen that no one sees us at? Like, we, like, it's a crazy psychological thing.
I know you keep mentioning, like, the screen. Like, I feel like I, right now, I don't post much on social media. But even if I were to get my body done, I'm not going to post on social media just because I got my body done.
You lying. No, that's not lying. Yes, you would. You'd be posting every day. You'd be up every day. Every day.
I want to go get my 360 Lapo for me, not for my followers, first of all.
Cam Neal be like, enough already. I ain't taking no more pictures. That's what would happen if you got your body done. You get your body done, we can't even talk to you. We'd be like, we waiting for you, Camellia. She's like, wait, that's what the hell would happen if you turned up.
Well, now that I don't have my body done, it's gonna take a lot of angles so I can look skinny. But when I get my body done, you can take it any angle. So this is a quicker process.
Yeah, well, basically what Genesis said, it is definitely psychological for women more than anything. No, I don't know, like you said, who looks at these photos. Like, I don't know them personally, but for some reason, I am hard on myself when it's time to post a photo. Like, I will stare at that photo until it looks ugly to me. I find something so ugly and horrendous about it that I just friggin' stays in my damn camera roll and never goes on to for anybody to see. And even like, you know, like you spend so much money, for example, like, I started this new skin regimen, Tatcha, which is a Japanese brand, and it makes your pores look smaller, and the shit works, right? So whatever, I use it on my face. My pores do look smaller because I am self-conscious about the pores on my face. But when you do, you know, you take your photo, like your selfie on Instagram, you could just swipe and then that filter goes on and you look even better. And it's like, you go back and then you see the original photo and then you go flip it and then you see the filter photo. You can't deny the filter photo looks way freaking better. Like, you know what I mean? And you wish you really did look like that and you don't feel so secure enough in yourself to post the one with your friggin' pores showing. So
good point with the filters, because I've seen pictures and, well, okay, so going back to Chloe, she looks great in still photos right now, right? And I think there's been so much plastic surgery and so much, you know, because you're always scrutinizing yourself and trying to be better. But then some of these people that I've seen in person kind of look crazy in real life. Like the image that they look like on Instagram looks great or in the still photo, but then when they look so exaggerated in person, like, I don't know. Have you noticed that, Andre, or seen anybody like that?
I've got it's interesting to listen to you guys because obviously I get a various amount of takes on this. I think for me, obviously I'm always posting pictures all the time, and I, you know, there is a lot of vanity, and you do want to pick the picture that you look the best in, but I won't let it dictate the fun time in that picture that I was having. So if I don't look absolutely perfect, I've just learned to be able to live with that. I think obviously it's different with women and men because, you know, women have a lot more pressure on them. But then I also think, although I take it that Camille is, you know, defensive I forgot her name now, my brain's dead. Chloe putting up the picture in the first place. Brains in gear again. Here we go. I feel that they've done severe damage to a lot of women in regards to, you know, the amount of plastic surgery that they've had, and they deny it. The constant, you know, promotion of things like, you know, like appetite suppressant lollipops and things like that. I'm not a fan of these guys at all, and I think that they are part of the reason why you guys feel the way you feel when you put up, before you put up pictures, because it's like their stuff has to be airbrushed, they have to look this way and all that. This is like, that's not everyone's reality. Everyone's not gonna spend time, you know, you're taking getting the artist to be able to brush out the imperfections that they have. I think that we should actually be, what she had an opportunity there to be able to say, so what? That's my body. You know what? I love myself and I want to promote body, you know, positivity. Now, it doesn't mean that you know, because I think people run away with that and actually make it, you know, kind of focus on the unhealthy side of things, you know, where people are saying, oh, like I'm fat and proud and things like that. There's a difference between being unhealthy and actually just being proud of who you are. And I think there's a difference between
what she deals with and that. Being healthy. It's about looking good. So.
Well, not just really. I don't agree with that. I disagree with that because at the end of the day, it's not about just looking good. It's actually about you. Instagram in particular.
Having a jelly roll.
Yeah. I mean, but at the end of the day is that if I see that, I don't care. Like, you know, and many men don't. Well, I think that it's very toxic what they've done into society, especially to women.
I don't think you should be blaming the Kardashians only, though, for that.
I didn't say they were only.
I wanted to answer what Jensine said, though. Yes, Jensine, that social media has caused, like, women to change their face and their body to only look good for still photos. But in person, it is crazy, but it is beautiful in still photos. And when you see it on camera, just like they say, what do you call frontals, like lace fronts? They look so good on video and on photos. But then when you see the lace front in person with the baby hair and the glue, it kind of looks a little bit.
And the mesh.
Like the mesh, you see it. It doesn't look as good as it does in the photos. Like it doesn't. Yeah. That's just like what we're saying. And yes, they did start a trend with their body. They did. Like with the whole body thing, they did. They started the trend with, you know, the very small waist and the really big back here or whatever. But we can't keep blaming them because they also brought a lot of beauty. Like they changed the whole game of how we do makeup. Like it looks so much better. Like contouring and highlighting. Like they did like a whole lot of, you know, good too.
That so stuff was there before they did it.
People's insecurity.
They you know, the end of the day is that if you have a platform where you are extremely influential, especially to young women, I think it's appalling if you are pretending that you are anything different than what you are. I think that you're putting pressure on little kids. I think it's absolutely disgraceful. You know, they're not solely to blame, but they are responsible for what their influence on their people. Chris,
I just think their idea of body positivity too is very misconstrued. Like Kim, I don't know if y'all remember all her naked photos that she posted talking about, I'm posting my naked picture because I want my kids to feel secure with their body and confident. And I thought that was just like a very wrong way to go about it. And then I don't know who mentioned it, was Chris or you, Andre, where you guys said, instead of owning the platform and be like, well, my photo looks good. And that was an opportunity to promote. Well, don't delete it. I'm proud of it. Instead, she wanted to scrub it and get it, take it away. So I don't like how they go about it. No.
Yeah.
No, we talking about what the Kardashians thing. To me, it's tough that I think they had a better way of building their platform that came from nothing, pretty much. Like they were famous for doing absolutely nothing, riding the coattails of Kim Kardashian. You know why she was famous. When we look at them, I don't even know why we even, I don't look at them as any type of influence. I kind of relic on the Beyonce kind of vibe. Like when Kanye and her walked in the room with Jay-Z and Beyonce, like what did she actually say and talk about? I don't care if she's a billionaire. I think her hustle is crazy. Anybody that hustles and she hustled the beauty market, I thought that was dope. But I don't blame them, like you say, for everyone else's.
I don't blame them either.
Because if I blame them for what other women, then I got to be like, why are you even? There's so many other people to look at that are beautiful and intelligent and have done things and successful and so on and so forth. So I just think this particular topic is just more on why is social media and how our image on social media, is it so important?
And because, you know, the Kardashians definitely have influence and they utilize social media to become influential and, you know, they made money off of that. But social media, I feel like, has become is a certain standard of beauty that we have created that is false and isn't real. And women now, and even some men, because there's a lot of more male procedures out there. There's just this false reality that you're trying to portray, and you're not going to look like that naturally because it isn't real. So those are my final thoughts on it.
That's a good way. We unfortunately got to move on to the next subject, but it's definitely a good way for us to be able to kind of end that. But you know, we all got to kind of love ourselves as much as possible. Now, yes. Kamini,
I agree. Yeah,
Kamini. Yes, so let's go.
Yeah. So the game said he basically got everybody riled up on the internet because basically when I said everybody, he pissed all a bunch of dudes off because he said, maybe he's old school, but his woman ain't paying one damn bill. Life is on him. Okay. So then, of course, the internet went crazy. And like I said, when I say the internet, I mean men went crazy. Of course, all the women in the comments, successful women too with money, by the way, because I saw the comments, right? Agreed. And then all the men was just like, you know, pissed or whatever. And then I want to get like the male perspective. Chris, why do you think that men were pissed? Because I saw comments from where, well, he's a millionaire. And then, you know, other comments, because I don't want to say my piece yet because I know what I want to say, or Gentina can really probably do, but
yeah.
But give me why you think men were pissed.
No, yeah. the reason why men were pissed is because the game challenged our egos. You know what I'm saying? They challenged the one thing that really separates what we would say in the milk of the men from the boys, which is not just money. The game when he started was speaking from I got it kind of standpoint. He wasn't speaking from a dude making $42,000 going out there making sure that his wife is good and she drives the best car and he just goes and gets it and he work all day long. You know what I mean? So he's speaking right from a privileged point of view. So from that particular point of view, I can say, hey, game, yes, you better take care of your woman and make sure that she's good. And if she chooses to go out and work, you should support her also, especially if you have a today's woman. I think a lot of if you get a solid woman today, game, to date you, she might still want to do something in her career. She may know that you got her, but she may still want to do something because she just doesn't want to stay at home because you want to feel worthful. But guys were pissed because, man, you challenged them. And there's probably a lot of guys that want to do that and can't. You know, there's a lot of guys that financially, possibly because of their situations, can't provide for their families as much as they can. And I think a lot of guys, especially Black guys, are trying their best to do that, you know. And because today there's a lot of women that do, the women, Black, especially Black women, are graduating at the highest degrees of anybody in America right now. So you have a lot of successful women. And I also think that, and I'll get this from the women, we understand in this country, in this capitalistic society that we do live in, you know, money talks, and that's how you kind of get your opinions across also. So I do think that if a woman is bringing in some of the money, most of the money, half of the money, then obviously she gets to now have discussions about what the hell goes on about the bills and what I want to do and so on and so forth. So I do feel that when the game does say that, he's not saying that, yeah, but she gets to now speak up and she gets to now say what she wants and so on and so forth. I'm sure she would probably have to do any and everything he says. I am sure game would definitely have one time they have an argument, say, I pay all the bills in this house. And if you want to pay all the bills in the house to be able to say that, I think that can particularly be toxic.
So would you say that's like having a level of control over?
Of course. I'm not saying there are not men out there that can do that, have a conversation with their wife and not have to put their foot down. But I'm a man. Come on. I know how this particularly stands. We were just talking about Quavo and Speedy. You don't think he would say, he took the Bentley back. You don't think he'll say, I paid for this?
That wasn't true, though.
I'm just saying
true about the Bentley. He didn't take it back. No, that wasn't true. He never took it back.
Okay, whatever. Okay. So anyways, when we talk about the Black love or whatever the case may be, so you don't think that would particularly be a part of that? I'm sure the game isn't sitting back saying, yeah, babe, you could take on that. When she has an argument, he's like, all right, Ma, I'll do that. I'm sure that's not the case. So I think today's woman should go out and pay. And we're talking about average men. We need our women to work and provide also and be a team today. And I think it's empowering for us to be able to do that for them. That's just my opinion. But I do agree with the game. If you want to do that, you want to provide for your woman, you want to go out and hustle, you want to take care of your family, make sure she pays no bills, hey, go ahead, man.
So
I'm okay with that, but
I'm just going to jump in because I pay for 100% of my bills because I live by myself. So, you know, like if I had somebody come in and say, I'd be fine with 50%. Like we split everything. I'm working, you're working. I'm pretty realistic. Like I wouldn't expect the guy to just pay all of my bills. But if he was super insistent and he wanted to pay all my bills, I'm gonna let him pay it. I'll be like, okay, I have my money and you're paying all my bills. I'm well taken care of. I don't know how realistic that is, but it would be.
Wait, Jensine, but what do you think? Why do you think the men, because Chris gave his reason why he thinks that men were pissed in the comments. Why do you think from a female perspective that the men were pissed in the comments?
I think from that point though, right, from a guy, it may be a little bit emasculating possibly, like where they feel like maybe they want to pay 100% of the bills, but maybe they aren't in a position to what Chris's point was earlier. I know I personally have been in relationships where I make more money than the guy, and that right there, it just, there's a kind of what's the word am I looking for? An insecurity where they're always intimidated that they can't, like with a certain level of money that they're making, and maybe they want to provide, but they can't. And then where maybe I would want to go to a certain restaurant, but they were raised to pay and they can't afford it. And then that's where some arguments may come because we're on two different levels there. What do you think, Camelia?
Well, I just want to say, with what the game said, in an ideal situation, that would be great. I would love for the men to provide the money, and I'll stay home, I'll cook, I'll take care of the household, and raise the children. That'll be a dream come true. However, and that's not realistic today. That's not realistic today, right? I think 3 years ago, I think it was about 3 years ago, I read, just to live comfortably in Miami, you have to make at least $77,000 a year. So that's not what's happening here. Like, ain't nobody, there's not a lot of individuals in Miami making $77,000 a year. That was about 3 years ago, so it's probably higher now. You know, we're going to need help from our partners. And I think that's just what men, what can we, I think that men were offended just because I think we can all acknowledge that men are kind of falling behind in today's society, not just money-wise, but like as to what Genesis said, like women and Black women especially are now graduating with higher degrees. They're now taking on higher positions. They're now being like the head of the household, being like the head money provider. And I think men are just kind of falling behind in that. I think that, and they peep it too. And I think they know. I think that, it used to be an issue where the woman was, or men will get mad when women were making more money than them. But now men are like, oh, you make more money than me. I'm just going to, you know, it's acceptable. It's not bothering them anymore, which I think it should bother them a little bit. I don't know. I think that they're becoming too comfortable with the woman making more money and then coming home and also taking care of the house and the children. I don't know. I think that's what's happening.
But do you still think that there's still men out there that do get satisfaction from being a protector and like make a woman secure? Do you still think that there's men out there left like that? Because at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Yeah,
like being a protector, like having that
men left out there, you know, like that want to be a provider. And honestly, that's all it is. Like I'm single now, but if my future partner, I hope that what I can get out of him is that he wants to be a provider. And like, no, maybe you won't be able to provide 100% of that, or maybe not even 50%, because sometimes they're going to fall behind. And I think that that's okay too, you know?
I'll come in. From my take is this, is I think from the men's point of view, I think there's this thing that some men do to other men, which I always think is unforgivable, which is like, you know, man shaming each other. And you know, oh, you guys, if you're not doing, it's just very much like that Derek Jackson. Like, obviously, we don't have that stuff in London, but you know, it's very much the same thing. Well, men, if you're not doing this, then you ain't a real man. Yeah. And it's just like, well, there's various different things that's going on. There's some men there who unfortunately just happen to earn less than their other half, but then they worked out a system that works for them, and you know, so he shouldn't. A man shouldn't have to feel that he has to provide for all the bills for a woman. I think that's dated. I personally wouldn't want someone who just wants to be, you know, not doing her own, building her own career as well. Me adding to my wife's career, and you know, us talking about business strategies and how she can grow her business, and then how we can grow the other business that we have, is for me, that's something that's attractive to me. If someone's just like, well, that's your problem to deal with, then I just don't really feel that's forward thinking, progressive in any formal way. I feel that men took exception to it in the comments there, because it's the whole, you know, throwing the men under a bus. So I Chris, I don't know if you see what I'm saying on that, but I just feel that it was the same Derek Jackson type of thing. I'm not knocking Game. I think he's an amazing artist. Seems like a really great guy, but it's just, I just think that was quite cheap.
Yeah, that's what I was saying when he attacked the ego. You know, like if we play in basketball and you're on a team and I call you the P word, or I call you, yo, you did, you know what I'm saying? You're attacking my ego and the grunt of what we are built on. So yeah, right. He did throw them under the bus and got to their ego to be like, come on, man, how you gonna do that to us? So now instead of saying, damn, I wish I could do what the game is saying, they attacked him and said, they could have been like, bro, I feel you. You good. You know what I'm saying? That's cool.
That's good for you.
We good over here. But if you felt small by what the game said, then maybe that's something you may have to work out. You know what I mean? But I did it. But I hear you in terms of like throwing people under the bus and throwing dudes under the bus. Yeah, you can't. We got to ride for each other.
No, because I feel it goes against the like, you know, in a sense, like a man code, where it's just like, yo, I'm going to make myself look good. Look, believe me, I can make myself look great every day on how much money I earn and what I get to do and belittle other men. I don't believe you should do that. I think that you should.
But he's also from a competitive place too.
Right. But that's cool. But you can do that as stunting as a rapper. Then that's great, because you have millions to be able to do so. But then there's other men who don't. I'm here to stick up for those ones who are maybe building their own business, or, you know, working their ass off at Best Buy or whatever it is. Really good men that get treated badly by their other ass. We, you know, Chris and I know people, men who, their women that owns more than them. And then they make it known all the time that you ain't SHIT, you know, you ain't that, you know, and that's what those men were piping up about, because they don't want to get attacked by the women. I'll let you amazing.
Wait, we can definitely conclude then that there's different levels to this. Now, if you're on the game's level, like you're a millionaire, then I think you are secure enough to handle 100% of the bills. Also, if she wants to take on a risky business endeavor, like open up, I don't know, goat yoga places all over, he can fund that and take the L. And that's her building a dream business, right? And to build up on what Chris said about him having to, you know, there's always a fear of, because you're making the money, that the man is going to control you. But I think that when you are at a certain level, like, you're not insecure because you are like rich, you're successful, your career is spoken for. I think you're in a different state of mind. So I feel like there's no reason to control the woman, because we're not talking about like regular dudes, like regular dudes. I don't know, because I feel like regular dudes, like, let's say he's making, let's say, $100,000 a year, right? So maybe she don't kind of got to work, but it's still not like an ideal life. He's going to kind of feel some days like he had to work 80 hours this week. So he going to feel like shit when you come home and nag him about something. You going to feel like shit. You're going to nag him about something like he didn't do this. And then he's going to hold the control over you saying that. But if you're the game and you're taking like 6 months off work and working 4 months straight and then making money in your sleep, I think how you're out, your stress is a different type of stress. I don't know. I haven't reached that yet, but I don't know.
It's two powers combined. It should be.
Yeah, but either which way, if you have a man doing that for you, open up your goat yoga shop or whatever the hell you're trying to do, and then have your own thing going that he can fund your business too. That in case anything goes down bad, you have your business.
Cammy, I'm going to ask you. I'll start off with you just really quickly. Just ask this: if a woman came on Instagram, I'm just trying to do this on the flip side, and then she said, "If your man's not paying all your bills and taking care of you, he ain't nothing." How would you take that?
I would be like, well, I pay my own bill, so it don't really fucking matter. So sorry. But, like, it's true, though. Like, I'm taking care of myself. Where men got pissed is that I feel like my perspective was the men that got pissed are men with women that are women minding them. Like, women taking care of them. And Gentine's paying every bill and he's just there. And she cooking and she over there trying to work out and take her daughter to school. Those are the dudes that got pissed in the comment.
Oh boy. There is Cammy, there is actually a goat. There is actually a goat yoga brand. That's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there is.
But I feel like that's what rich people do. Their wives do. They're like, oh honey, can you let me franchise my goat yoga?
Goat yoga. That was a good one.
Yeah,
oh, now I'm gonna forget that one.
I'm gonna try curry it.
Well, let me move on while we still have a podcast left before they.
I told you about Cammy's wrath.
Right. Okay.
Again, like it's that. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna say that for my man Goofy. I'm gonna say that for the man Goofy.
Oh Lord.
Okay. That's a good one.
All right. Okay. So we've got the last topic before we ride off into the sunset. I'm just gonna start it off by just saying this. You're a man groupie if, I'm going to start off with Camila. Go for it.
All right. You're a man groupie if you be giving shout outs on Instagram when that person don't even follow you. Like, I think that's what we call hashtag dick writing. Yeah, same thing.
Okay. I think you're a man groupie if you call someone by their Instagram name. So it has been out there, like Camila, Cammy, and I have all been out in the club or a party or whatever. And we've had people chase us down, calling us by our Instagram names. Like, we don't know you, trying to act like they know us and trying to drink with us.
That's a thing, that's for sure.
Chris?
I guess I don't know. I'm just gonna try. This is from things that I've seen on social media because I'm not a male groupie, but I think you're a male groupie you have like months of messages in her phone that says, "Hey, what you doing?
Oh, what's up? Yes, mm-hmm.
What's up? Hey, mm-hmm. What's up? I know you're there. I know. I've seen that. I was like, really? This is like over 6-7 months. You gotta be a groupie. That with no reply, and you've been less fun seen for 7 months. Yeah, you got to be.
Yeah, when they have conversations with themselves, that's definitely
gotta be. Yeah, for sure.
Camney.
Okay, I have two. The first one is men who like flex on the gram, like they're like say you like you Chris, you bought bottles or whatever, and you got a table at the club with some other dude that just tagged along who didn't put any money in it, is like flexing on the gram as if he bought it, okay? And then my other man groupie moment thing is like whenever some other man tries to give accountability to other men, they start crying in the comments, like what they did in the game, and I'm done.
what do we call, I mean I don't know if this is the same type of thing, but what about the guys that sing to themselves on Instagram, so they're like miming along, like singing to themselves, you know?
Oh, that's so gross.
What is that?
You're right, I know what you're talking about.
And they're dancing in the mirror.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they're dancing, yeah, that is.
What is that? Is that just being ick, or is that just something else? I mean, another thing is that I definitely think that I'm guilty of airing people because I'm of a certain age where I have my friends and they're set. So if you came in after a certain time, I'm sorry, there's no more space. So if I haven't responded to you and you want to be my friend, then it's just, I feel that at some point you've got to kind of look and think, actually, he's not replying and things like that. So it's kind of like what Chris was saying, but Chris, you go round table. Last ones from you guys.
We can go again?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh. Okay. Oh.
Me? Go ahead, Key. Go.
Now, I think you're a man groupie if you be in the club and you're like in a spot, let's say like what Cammy was saying, like you got a table or something, and you invite girls over and you over there posting all the girls like you know them personally, but you don't because they just came over and you had a bottle
bribe them with free liquor. It's true.
What about four men sharing one bottle?
No, that's fine. If it's your friends, whatever. No, we're not saying anything with that. It's just like, we're talking about guys like fronting for the gram, like you're stunting or whatever. But my other one, my other one was, I forgot. Come back to me.
I just had it.
Oh, I remember now. Okay.
Go ahead, Cammy. You remember.
Okay. Dudes that like ain't got shit going on for themselves, but they're out here giving advice to other youths and men, but they don't have nothing going on. Like what? Like you have no accomplishment. Who are you trying to school and be like young man to? Like really, I'm a grown man because I'm making more money than you, even though I'm younger. Like what are you trying to teach me? I've seen that. I've seen men like act like they be knowing what they're talking about, man. And they don't know crap. To these youth, and the youth come back to me and tell me, like, you know, they're not stupid. They'd be like, what does he have? Like, I don't want anything that he has. Like, why is he trying to give me advice right now? Mm-hmm. And it's so true. Those are groupies too.
Didn't see?
I mean, there's so many good ones. I feel like this is all the same dude, by the way. There's one guy out there that's loaded, boy. Yeah, there's one guy out there that's guilty of everything we just said.
Like, I know, there is like one guy.
We gonna piss some guys off though, for real.
We I think Chris and I are quiet because we know many people who tick every single box of what you said.
I'm not gonna talk about the male group.
Yeah, please don't get us in trouble.
Sure. I'm not gonna. But the guy hater, dog. You know the guy hater when he's hanging around and you got a couple of girls and you're like, hey man, can you take like some pictures or whatever? And then the pictures are like all over the place. And like you're like, what are you doing, man? Like you go back and look at the pictures and you're like, my head cut off, it's all over the place.
That brings back memories,
huh? Good pictures. I thought those are the tough ones.
We had that
incident. Supposed to ride with us, man.
Yeah, he slanged that camera to us like the phone to us like it is on fire. Like here, I took your picture. I took your damn picture. Get out of my face.
Yeah, he didn't want.
Hater.
Yeah, Jen.
Hater.
Like Jen, he didn't want nobody taking pictures with you, boy. The pictures was all over the place.
Now, before Jensen, I'm going to save you. Now, I'm going to close the show. guys, thank you so much for listening. Jensen's in bits over here. Thank you so much for listening again. We appreciate the really good responses we've been getting for the podcast. We keep on bringing you all the topics. Today is the day to celebrate because justice prevailed. We will catch you guys next
week. 420!
And that too. Peace.
All right.